Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that everything you filled me up with this week would flow from me this morning. Nothing would be missed. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. I pray, Lord, that every word that is spoken be inspired of the Holy Spirit. Nothing of myself, Lord, but you through me. And may it speak to each one of our hearts, no matter where we're at in life and what's going on around us, no matter what our circumstances are. Lord, I thank you that you are not limited to minister to one person at a time. Lord, as we all come together through this message, Lord, you will minister to each one of us if we are willing to receive. So Lord, we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The last few weeks teaching about the shepherd and seeing the Father's heart through the imagery of what a shepherd is, has been really good for me. I realized that, you know, the Lord's been telling me for a couple years now to come to him as son, and I've shared, I really haven't known what to do with that or what that means. I'm in the process of learning what that means. The Lord, I went to a memorial service. Another thing that I forgot to announce, that Michael T., I don't know, some of you may remember Michael T. Michael T. is from Jordan Crossing Ministries in Oroville, and God's moving in Oroville right now. It is really cool. There was a prophecy years ago, I'm told, that said that there would be three pillars of the community in Oroville, three pillars that would fall. And I heard that prophecy, was it Wednesday? I heard the main part of it, and said that there would be three pillars in the community that would fall. But out of it, many smaller pillars would rise up, and they would carry the weight that the three large pillars were carrying, that many would, smaller pillars would carry that weight. And, Michael T. was the third pastor in Oroville in the last handful of years that has passed away. He was killed in a motorcycle accident a couple weeks ago on his way to do prison ministry. And all three of the pastors were either going to or coming from ministry that God had them doing. And he was on his way to do prison ministry. And Michael T., if you know his story, he came out of San Quentin, had spent the majority of his life in prison, was in San Quentin for murder, and was in the hole, which is in solitary confinement, for 30 days. And Jesus visited him in his cell. And it was an absolute encounter with God and changed his life. And an absolute miracle that he paroled. When he paroled that day, I think they paroled him to get him out of the prison because he was holding church in the yard. He was a leader of the Aryan Brotherhood while he was in prison, and just had been there and done that. And the guy, Jesus changed his life. He was an absolute example of a transformed life. And he was holding church in the yard, and they paroled him. His life had changed so much that they paroled him, and he came out knowing that he was supposed to start Jordan Crossing Ministries, and they touched many, many lives. And went to the memorial service the other day, all of that to honor Michael T. He was a friend and a brother. And for two, while I was there, this whole thought of being a son and come to him as son, I was talking to a friend of mine, Gaylord Enns, and his wife, and she totally blessed me. She said, "So how long have you been in Corning?" And I said, "Well, I've been there about 23 years. And I said, "But got saved about 16 years ago." And I said, "Now I'm pastoring the same ministry that I got saved under." And her eyes got really big. And she goes, "Oh, so you're a son. You're not just sent there." And I had never thought about it that way before. Being a son of this ministry, I was birthed right here in this ministry. So it really, the Lord really blessed me. But seeing his heart through all of this, there are all these little things that I've been through lately and the teaching and everything. Seeing the heart of the Father has always been, that's what I wanted. It's like, wait a minute, we see the love of God in the New Testament, God hasn't changed. I want to see that love in the Old Testament. Where is it expressed? Is it lost in translation? Which I'm finding out a lot of it is. But you got to understand that God hasn't changed. He's the same God then as that He is now. And I want to find that love from one end of my Bible to the other. I want to know His love. And I want to know the Father's heart for me and for you and for our community. And I've seen firsthand and know firsthand that when you believe a lie, when you really don't know the heart of your Father, it will lead to a lot of bad behavior. It changes everything. Our whole perspective is changed when you don't understand that you can trust your Heavenly Father. When we compare Him to our earthly fathers, oh boy, we're in trouble there. And in the same way, when we believe a lie about our earthly fathers, it leads us to a lot of bad behaviors and bad attitudes, and we just totally miss it. The prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, I believe when you really look at that scripture, both of them were prodigal sons. Neither one of them really knew the heart of their father. Both of them were offended at their father or afraid of their father. I don't want to miss my father. I want to know what his heart is. I want to get so close to him, I hear his heartbeat. So this week, as I was studying, next thing you know, the week's gone and Friday morning is here. And that's normally I'll kind of take in everything all week long and Friday morning kind of hide away and spend some time studying. And when I got up Friday morning, all I heard the Lord say was read Deuteronomy. And it's like the whole book. Read Deuteronomy. So I came down here and I start reading Deuteronomy and then I caught myself, had my computer out and books, and something would catch my attention and I'd start doing word studies. And I love to research and I love to study it that way. And I'd start going and I'd get lost in a word. Next thing I know, the Lord would speak to me and say, I said, just read Deuteronomy. And in order to get away from doing that, I had to leave all that stuff in the office and I had to grab my Bible, which I'd forgotten how long it had been since I just grabbed my Bible and came over here and read it. I came over here and locked myself in the sanctuary and I just read Deuteronomy. Didn't do any word studies, didn't research anything, didn't go looking at other scriptures. I just tried as best I could to do what the Lord told me to do, read Deuteronomy. So I did. And you get the consequences of that this morning. Deuteronomy is an interesting book. I start reading it, and no, we're not going to read the whole thing this morning, but it starts off, Moses is talking to them and reminds them of where they came from. Anybody remember where you came from? I remember where I came from. I would like to forget it most of the time, but there's a purpose for remembering it. The one thing I know out of remembering where I came from is I don't want to go back to it. I want nothing to do with what's behind me. And I guess as I read it, the one thing that started speaking to me is, I mean, I just started flipping. I'm reading through there, and sometimes, anybody ever read their Bible and doze off? I did that sitting right there where Quentin's at this morning. I sit right there, and I'm reading Friday, and I start reading, and next thing I know, I'm like this. I woke up, and I just start reading again. I didn't know what else to do. It's like, just read. Just read it. The one thing that I started recognizing in this, and I don't know how else to say it. It's what it spoke to me, but I don't mean it maybe as harsh as it might sound. What I found in there is really the message of the whole thing is, you're mine. You're my special people. Know it and act like it. And I started examining my life and realizing, wow, how many times do I not act like it? In little things. I mean, in parenting and being a husband and all these things. I just get caught up in it. And you forget who you are. It's kind of, I think of it in different terms, a boxer. Somebody, a fighter that has reached the ultimate. I mean, when you're up there in the top 2 and 3, you can't threaten those guys. It's just a head game from there out. They're just, if they're running their mouth, it's just because they're trying to get in the other person's head. But when you excel in something and you know who you are and you know you're skilled in it, you can't touch them there. You can't scare them there. You can't take Floyd Mayweather, if anybody follows the fights in here, you can't take Floyd Mayweather and scare him. You're not going to intimidate him. You're not going to get in his head over fighting because he knows he's faster and he knows he's trained and he's done everything he needs to do and you can't touch him. And you're not going to threaten him on the street and scare him. And in the same way, I want to be that versed in this. I want to know the heart of the Father so much in this that I know who I am. I want to study this so deep that I forget who I am and express who he is. I want to come to that point that it doesn't matter what comes against me. You can't touch me. There's no threat. There's no darkness. There's no demon. There's no nothing that can come so close to me because I want to know who I am. Anybody relate with that? And that's what I felt like Deuteronomy. It's like the message of all of it was, this is who you are. Act like it. To the point of little things. He gives them the laws of conquest. I mean, everything about it, he's reminding them. And he keeps saying, there's this little thing all the way through there. Keep my commandments. And in what we've learned the last few weeks, it doesn't just mean obey like a commander ruling over us. This is the heart of the shepherd saying, protect, put a hedge of thorns around my landmarks, my directions for you. Protect those so that you know where you are because I'm there in those things. Guard those things. And it just keeps everywhere. Every time you turn around, it's repeating that same thing. Keep my commandments. Know my customs and my judgments or his statutes, it says, and the customs. And as I'm reading it, I'm realizing, wow, how far are we away from really understanding God's customs? The first thing I thought about was covenant. And in the culture and the society that we live in, we have not kept his customs. We have not protected his commandments, and we have not known his customs and his judgments, his determinations. We haven't known these things in our culture. We don't even understand covenant anymore. And because we don't understand covenant, we really don't understand our relationship with him. It's covenant. Provision, protection, and identity. And nothing will break that covenant. Nothing. And I have to remind myself of that all the time. When it seems like money's a little bit tight, I got to remind myself, Lord, you're my provider. It's a covenant promise that he will provide for me. Everything that I need. So if I see myself with lack, I need to realize that I just really don't need it. Because if I needed it, he'd give it to me. He's after my heart. He'll let me go through things. He'll let the finances get a little bit tight so I'll remember who my provider is. Because the next thing he warns them after this is he's going through the book of Deuteronomy and he starts reminding them, when you get in the land, don't forget how you got there. Don't forget the things I did for you in the wilderness. Don't forget that your shoes never wore out. Don't forget that your clothes never wore out. Don't forget that there was manna there every single day. Don't forget that there was water that came forth out of a rock. Don't forget the things that I've done for you to get you to where you are right now. Don't get prideful. And it's so often that's what we do. We'll be broke and we'll start praying for, and I'm just using the money as an example because we can all relate to that. Amen. We'll be broke. Things will be tight. We'll turn back. We'll start going to church, whatever it is. We'll start tithing. We'll start crying out, praying for our finances again. And God blesses us. And the next thing you know, it's like, great. See you later. Wow. I remember sharing one time, it's like, we've got a banquet table that he's set up before us. And so often the church in America has pulled up to that table and we've gorged ourselves on the blessings of God only to push ourselves away and say, I'm full. I'll see you later. See you next time I get hungry. When you never have to leave the table, there's no threat. We gorge ourselves like there's not going to be enough for everybody. You can set up there and how nice it is just to set up there and know, you know what, there's plenty and I don't have, it's like, yeah, go at it. Help yourself because it's going to be a never ending buffet. I mean, it's just like, it keeps coming. And you find that place of temperance where you just sit back and just know, I don't have to act like it's not going to be there tomorrow. Does that make sense? Does that speak to anybody? This, as I'm reading this, it was like all of a sudden I realized in Deuteronomy he's saying, you're mine. Look what I've done for you. I've brought you out of all of that stuff. Look at my faithfulness and all of that. You're mine. You belong to me. Act like it. In everything you do. Act like it with your enemies. Act like it with your children. Act like it with your friends. Act like it with your slaves. Act like that with everything you do. Act like it. Don't forget, you belong to me. I got you. And I just found it profound. It just impacted me. Know who you are and act like it. Anybody like the sound of that? I mean, it's like, there's no threat against you, Cindy. Nothing can touch you. So my heart is like, all right, Lord, then why don't we? Why don't we act like it? My heart has been that we would be a complete ministry. I guess that has to start with me being a complete person and you being complete people, and together we make up a complete ministry. But my heart is that no matter who I come across, no matter who I meet on the street, no matter where I'm at, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter where a person's at in their life, when it presents itself, I want to know how to minister to that person. I want to know how to minister to them. If they don't know Jesus, I want to bring Jesus to them. If they know Jesus, but they're struggling with something in their life and they just need deliverance from it, I want to be able to minister to that person. If they're bound up in demonic activity and they know Jesus and they're just mixed up in the confusion and all the stuff that's going on in their life and they're being hammered spiritually, I want to know how to minister to them and bring freedom to them. If they're right there on the threshold of being in the kingdom and understanding all of these things and just need to walk into the fullness of it, I want to grab their hand and jerk them in. Come on! I want to know how to minister to someone no matter where they're at. No matter where they've been, no matter what's going on in their life, I want to know how to minister to them. And I want us as a church body to know how to minister to anybody that walks in the door, no matter where they're at, no matter what's going on in their life. Is that appealing to anybody? I mean, that's the goal, right? Is to be in that place. And I feel like Lord's walked me up. It's like we understand it's been this journey. And I feel like the Lord is walking us to a place that is going to reveal. It's like another turning point. It's like, here it is. I'm going to give you another key. And I can't put it into words what that key is right now, but I just want you to know, I feel like God's getting ready to hand us another key. And it's like, that's exciting to me. But in order to get to that place, you got to walk in what you've already learned, right? I can't just go after that key and forget where I came from or what he's taught me and all of that stuff. I need to continue to walk in those things. I started, just as I'm reading, there's a couple places that jumped out at me. I'm just going to read through some scripture and just, I guess, exhort as the Holy Spirit exhorts. Deuteronomy 29, verse 10. Says, you are standing today, all of you, before Jehovah your God, your rulers, your tribes, your elders, your officers, every man of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and your alien who is in the midst of your camps, from the woodchopper to the one drawing your water, so that you should enter into the covenant of Jehovah your God and into his oath, which Jehovah your God is making with you today. That's where I feel like I'm standing. It's like you're standing right here today. Right in front of him, here he is, and he wants us to not just begin this covenant, but he wants us to enter into the fullness of that covenant. So that he may establish you today for a people to himself. That's appealing to me. I want to be a people to himself. And he himself be your God, as he has spoken to you, and as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I am not making this covenant and this oath with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before Jehovah your God, and also with him that is not here with us today. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their detestable things and their idols of wood and stone and silver and gold, which were among them. That there not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away from Jehovah your God, Jehovah our God, to go and to serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you today a root that bears gall and wormwood. And it happens when he hears the words of this curse that he should bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, to snatch away the drunken with the thirsty. And that verse just, bam! said that there is not a man among you or a woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away from Jehovah your God and to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you today a root that bears gall and wormwood. And it happens when he hears the words of this curse that he should bless himself in his heart saying, I shall have peace even though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart to snatch away the drunken with the thirsty. That last little part, I'm not quite sure I completely understand that. But in one translation, it's more like I shall have peace to add drunkenness to thirst. It's like that. I'm not going to be happy just getting a sip for my thirst. I'm just going to drink till I'm drunk. It's that attitude that's just like, I'm going to bless myself and everything's fine. A what? Yeah. This one's important because I think I look at our nation and realize God has blessed our nation. He's blessed the churches of this nation. We have sent out missionaries all over the world that God has used this nation. I am not that I'm against America, but I think the patriotism can go over the top. Okay. No disrespect, but I think the American pride gets us in trouble and we need to be careful with that. But I think about the things how many of you grew up and at least heard something about the Bible or had some knowledge about the Bible? Majority of us in here. Okay. Something. It didn't mean that your parents were Christians and practicing or going to church or anything. But the majority of us as children have heard something about the Bible and heard the scriptures. And you just know in your heart right from wrong, right? You just know it. It's like I've watched my own children when they're infants and have never been told not to do something. But it's like they'll crawl over to something and they know that they can just feel it. And they know it and they just turn to look and see if anybody's watching. It's that part of us that we just know. I mean, these things are written on the tablets of our heart. We know when it's right or wrong. Even as infants, you can see it the best in them. As soon as they learn how to crawl, they start looking over their shoulder. And you don't have to say anything. It could be something completely new to them, but we're looking over our shoulder. Because we know something's not right about this. It just doesn't feel right. I shouldn't be doing this. But as long as nobody's looking, I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, I heard that laugh. That sounded like me laughing right there. But it happens when he hears the words of this curse that he should bless himself in his heart saying, I shall have peace, even though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. That's Deuteronomy 29, verse 19. And this really spoke to me because I think that's been the attitude in America a lot. It's been, I know that these things are to be the true, but God's really not going to punish me for it. It's all good. I'm going to bless myself with peace anyway. It's like, I'll be fine. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do the things that the Bible says to do. I don't have to obey the commandments. Or as Pastor Mike teaches, you don't have to protect those landmarks. I don't have to walk in those places. I'll have peace anyway. It's been kind of the attitude. But listen to this next verse. It says, Jehovah will not be willing to forgive him. For then Jehovah's anger and his zeal shall smoke, and his zeal shall be against that man. And all the curses written in this book shall lie upon him, and Jehovah shall blot out his name from under the heavens. So the man that gets to the point and decides, you know what, I know what's right and wrong, but I'm going to have peace and I'm going to prosper anyway. I don't have to walk in that. And he goes out thinking that he can do whatever he wants. That man, now you got God's attention, and it's not a good thing. And Jehovah shall, verse 21, and Jehovah shall set him apart to evil out of all the tribes of Israel according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law. So that the generation to come, your sons who rise after you and the foreigner who comes in from a distant land shall say when they see the plagues of that land and its sicknesses which Jehovah shall send into it, the whole land shall be burned with brimstone and salt. It shall not be sown, nor shall it sprout, nor shall there be any herb in it. It shall be like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which Jehovah overthrew in his anger and in his fury. And all the nations shall say, why has Jehovah done this to this land? For what is the heat of his great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Jehovah, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods which they did not know, who had not divided to them any portion. It's another thing that really spoke to me. We go out serving these other gods. Okay? We serve anger. We serve jealousy. We serve contention. We serve self. We serve all of these other gods. And it says right there, these gods, these false gods that they go out worshiping, have not divided to them any portion. That's a, what's the word I'm looking for? That separates God from all the other gods. Because he's given to us a portion. And the fact that it says that they had not divided to them any portion is saying that God has, that's something that's different and distinct about him, is he's God and he has everything, yet he's given us a portion. Another God can't give you that. It says, in the anger of Jehovah, verse 27, was kindled against this land to bring on it all the curses that are written in this book. And Jehovah rooted them out from their of their land in anger and wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong to Jehovah our God, and the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Continuing in the next chapter, verse 1. Says, and it shall be, when all these things have come on you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you among all the nations where Jehovah your God shall banish you, you shall bring back to your heart these things, and shall turn back to Jehovah your God and listen to his voice according to all that I am commanding you today, you and your sons with all your heart, with all your soul. Then Jehovah your God will turn your captivity, and he will have pity on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where Jehovah your God has scattered you. If you are cast out to the end of the heavens, Jehovah your God shall gather you from there, and he shall take you from there. And Jehovah your God shall bring you into the land which your fathers have possessed, and you shall inherit it, and he shall do you good and multiply you above your fathers. Even when I was a child, and I knew the things that were wrong and going against God, and when I chose to do them anyway, and when I said, I'll have peace and I'll prosper because I'm going to do this my own way. When God's anger was towards me and he let me go through all the things that I went through, it was with his love. And I suffered because he loved me. He broke me down. And when I hit rock bottom and I walked through the doors of Harvest Christian Center 16 and a half years ago, I was broken and done. And I wanted no more of myself, and all I wanted was him. He came and got me even when I was my farthest point away from him. When my heart was hard and I was out there in it, and it says even to the farthest of heavens, spiritually I could be completely dead and as far away from God as I can get, like that could happen. And he still came and got me there. And his promise was, I'm going to come and get you there if I will turn back, no matter how far I am away from him. If I will hear his voice and turn back to him, he will come and get me. I don't have to make my way back to him. He says, he will come and get me if I will just turn to see where he's at and look for him. He will come and get me, and he brings me back from my farthest point. He brings me back to the land that he promised my fathers, which is the kingdom of God. He's speaking to them in terms of promised land, but take it New Testament. It's the kingdom of God. He's bringing me into his land, that provision, that part, that portion that he's given to me. He wants me to partake of it. And I found such a promise in that, because right before that it's saying that this man God will not forgive, but if you just turn back, he will not reveal that man in that condition. He will not forgive that man in that condition. But as soon as he turns back, I'll come get you. And I'm going to bring you into it. And I started thinking about it. I had another pastor who was talking to me this week, and they're into healing, and I'm into healing. I'm just saying, but where it came from and what it was talking about is so many of the things that I've heard before. Not that there's not truth in it, but it's kind of the word of faith, or the big on healing stuff. Okay. And the name it and claim it. And the problem that I've had with all of that stuff, even the truths that are so great in it, is we use it in a very selfish way, and we condemn people in it. Because if you're here today and I pray for healing for you and you don't get it, when I'm in that kind of teaching, when you don't get it, you just have unbelief. Well, you don't have enough faith. And it becomes, instead of laying hands on them, you're pointing fingers at them. And I'm just using you as an example, not really pointing at you. But that's the problem that I've had with some of that teaching. And it stirred me. I mean, I know this man and where his heart was and everything. But it just stirred me up, because I know there are truths in that teaching. I know there are truths in that. And I started realizing the same thing I was talking about earlier about being in complete ministry. I started thinking about things like Job. And Job's offering up sacrifices at the beginning of the book just in case his sons had sinned against God. And then he goes through all of this suffering and he goes through all of these trials and his friends are condemning him and he's trying to justify his actions and all these things are going on. You get to the end of the book and when God deals with Job, Job humbles himself and it's profound because, you know, he goes, you know, I see that I've been speaking about things that I did not understand. I've been speaking about things that I did not understand, but now I see you. And he humbles himself and he puts on sackcloth and ashes and he humbles himself before God. And immediately God turns from Job to his friends and it says, oh, by the way, you owe me a sacrifice, but you can't bring it to me. You have to come through my servant Job. And the things that Job spoke of so freely before, now he had an understanding. And in his understanding, he was very humble before God. And I'm looking at this thinking, okay, Lord, here we are. It's that journey from the farthest point all the way to the kingdom of God. I want to know how to minister to the person that's at that farthest point. I want to know how to minister all the way through. Because when it says that I'm going to go, so often we'll read that scripture and it says it could be from the farthest heavens. Where did it go? Now I can't find it. Verse 5. Yeah, it says, verse 4 says, and if you are cast out to the end of the heavens, Jehovah your God shall gather you from there and he shall take you from there. And then it says, and I will bring you into the land. And so often we'll read stuff like that, and it's like God just reaches over there and grabs me and just sets me in the, and it's that fast. It's not. Anybody know that it's a journey from here to there? My walk with God has been that journey from here to there. And he didn't just pick me up and make it happen. But he came and got me, and he's walked with me every step of the way. And in my misunderstandings, when I've been obstinate and I've been pulling against him because I really haven't known his heart, all along, he's chastised me or prodded me or pointed the direction or yoked me with him. All these different ways we've been talking about as the shepherd would lead his flock, he's done that with me. And he's led me from there to there. And now all of a sudden I feel like I'm standing here. And the cool thing is that I speak of things I know because I understand it and I've experienced it. I'm not speaking of things that I don't know. I'm not speaking of things that somebody else has told me. The other testimonies that people have told me have been confirmations of what God's been revealing with me on the way. But I'm still the one that he had to take my hand and walk me from there to there every step of the way. Anybody relate with that? Anybody on that journey? Sometimes that journey is hard. Sometimes the water gets deep. It doesn't matter though. God is faithful and he'll bring us through it. Amen. You just don't let go of his hand. Just continue to offer him the open hand is all you have to do. God, I can't do this on my own. And I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I mean, all I got to do is just catch a glimpse of where I was. And I know I don't want to go back. Amen. I don't want to go back. I won't go back. It's not an option. Therefore, the open hand. Okay, God, lead me in this. And I feel like God's bringing us right there to that threshold of the kingdom. And that's where the keys are coming. I can go back when the Lord, once I've been in the kingdom and I understand his ways, maybe he wants to send me and you to go get him. Maybe when they're at their farthest point, in the farthest depths of their darkness, as far as the heavens, they could be out in the heavens somewhere. They could be that far. And when they turn back and he says, hey, Mike, go get them. Amen. Whom shall I send? I'll go. I'll go. Why? Because I have nothing to fear along that path because I've already walked it with him. I'm not speaking of things that somebody else is telling me about. I'm speaking of things that I have taken God's hand and walked with him every step of the way. Taking nothing for granted. And every time I took something for granted, he just kind of nudged me back over here a step. It's like, well, why are we two steps back? Because you stepped the wrong way. Why? Because he loves me. At the time, I thought he was punishing me. The what? The left hook. Yeah. And we like to think, oh, God hit me with a left hook. No, he didn't. He just was kind of shoving you, and you were moving that way, and it just felt like a mean left hook. Stay where you're supposed to be. Right? He already told you he's over there. Why are you going that way? The hardest punch you see in a boxing is when somebody's moving this way and the punch is coming from there. You ever see a man's head moving forward this way and the punch is coming this way? Bam! Rock solid hurts. Usually knockout happens. It's all about timing. God's got great timing. Excellent timing. Excellent timing. Yeah. So why are we trying to rush him so often? We want things now. I want to be in the kingdom now. I wanted to be in the kingdom 16 years ago when I was over here. And I wanted it now. If you're God, why can't you just do that? Why do I continue to have these struggles and all this stuff? And the whole time he's dragging me along saying, just be quiet and come with me. But, anybody relate with that? You don't have to put your hand up or anything, but isn't this what we're like? What's that? You've heard rumors? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I've walked that path with you sometimes. It wasn't a rumor. Wow. I don't know about you, but I want to go all the way in. All the way in. And I will not stop until I get there. If you are cast out to the end of the heavens, Jehovah your God shall gather you from there, and he shall take you from there, and Jehovah your God shall bring you into the land which your fathers have possessed, and you shall inherit it, and he shall do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And Jehovah your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Wow, what a promise. The face-to-face ministry deals with heart issues, wounds, choices, and identities, all the stuff that we've talked about, hardness of heart. I'm sharing over there on Wednesday night talking about hardness of heart and changed some of the slides around and showed them that this is true circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. It's the trimming away, allowing God to cut away all the judgments and the self-judgments and the identities, the false identities that I've walked in, all those things. I look now and say, that's what God did the whole time I was walking with him. He had me by one hand, and with his other hand, he's whacking at my heart, saying, you can't take that into the kingdom. And he just keeps cutting and trimming, and that's where the hurt comes, and that's where every once in a while you just got to stop and say, ah, this hurts. And he's saying, I know, but just keep walking. And I feel like God's given us that ministry in face-to-face to know how to circumcise the heart, how to be used in that ministry. He wants to use us to minister to those people that he has on the trail. He wants some that will go and get him, and he wants some that will minister to them on the way. Verse 7 says, and Jehovah your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those that hate you and have persecuted you, and you shall return and obey the voice of Jehovah and do all his commandments, which I am commanding you today. And Jehovah your God will make you abundant in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground. That, I missed that part right there in verse 6. Says when he says that he will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed. The beautiful thing about it is, as I'm walking along this path from my greatest darkness and into the kingdom, and he is circumcising my heart, his promise is that he's circumcising the heart of my children along the way. And I may not see the fruit of that right away, but I trust, because there's a promise in that, that as he's circumcising my heart, he's doing that same work in the heart of my children. Amen? Back to verse 9 again. Sorry, I didn't want to miss that part. I like that promise in there. Jehovah your God will make you abundant in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground for good. For Jehovah will again rejoice over you for good. I want to hear him rejoice over me. What's that sound like, Don?
travels. There's more to it than the physician.
Girl. There's nothing new to man. In this message, there's a way all of us to relate to it.
Our flesh is the biggest deceiver of all, and even Christ, which I think is the greatest prayer of all, in the garden, which is, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will.
Mm-hmm.
Even clothed in flesh, he was being nagged to serve this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the flesh, it's about the spirit. and even he is getting that signal from this flesh. With Jesus, if we let it.
If we let it. For Jehovah will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. Verse 10 says, "For you shall listen to the voice of Jehovah your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of this law. For you shall turn back towards Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this command, which I am commanding you today, is not too wonderful for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, 'Who shall go up into the heavens for us and bring it to us and cause us to hear it, that we may do it?' And it is not beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who shall cross over for us to the region beyond the sea and take it for us and cause us to hear it, that we may do it?' For the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I am commanding you today to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. And you shall live and multiply, and Jehovah your God shall bless you in the land where you are going in to possess it. But if you turn away your heart and do not listen and are drawn on, even you will bow down to other gods and serve them. I have declared to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land to which you are crossing the Jordan to go in there to possess it. I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life that you may live, you and your seed, to love Jehovah your God, to listen to his voice and to cleave to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, so that you may live in the land which Jehovah has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them." Absolutely. These are, there is a New Testament side to this, what we would say a New Testament side to it. These things that are promised in here in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the New Testament. This is a, like Don was saying, this is a physical representation of the spiritual work that's been done. We use that imagery in the path that we're on because all of us can relate to that in a certain way. Unique. Each one of us is on a unique walk with the Lord, but each one of us is walking with him, even if you don't realize it. Man, I look back at a lot of my life and realize God was talking to me a long time ago. I just didn't realize it was his voice. And by his grace, he didn't let me do a whole lot of things that I wanted to do. Yeah. He didn't, man. It was like I look back and I used to get mad at, why can't I ever make this just happen? You know, you got it just going on and you're going to make your deal. And it's like, this is what's going to fix everything. And just before it gets there, man, it's like it all just goes through. He did that to me, and I'm thankful for it. even at my worst place, there was a greater darkness. Had I not turned around and looked for Him in it. No matter what we've been through in our lives, no matter what we think is the worst thing and the most terrible thing that could happen, there are worse things if we don't turn around and look. It will just keep going. I just want to read through Hebrews 12. As I'm reading through Deuteronomy, I'm realizing there are so many parallels in the book of Hebrews. It's almost like the book of Hebrews is the book of Deuteronomy in the New Testament, in a sense. Except it looks at the spiritual side of it. This morning when I was down here early, this just kept, I think it was that part where it says that a root of gall. When I was talking about the root, it made me think about this, and I started reading Hebrews 12. Verse 1 says, "So therefore we also, having so great a cloud of witnesses lying around us, having laid aside every weight and the easily surrounding sin, through patience let us also run the race set before us." Now imagine the race from there to there. "Let us run the race that is set before us, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who had endured such gainsaying of sinners against Himself, that you do not grow weary, fainting in your souls. You did not yet resist unto blood, wrestling against sin." Don't give up. Committed. Dedication, determination, amen? We've had a lot of conversations about this lately. "For consider Him who endured such gainsaying of sinners against Himself, that you do not grow weary, fainting in your soul. You did not yet resist unto blood, wrestling against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which He speaks with you as with sons? My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint while being corrected by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines and whips every son whom He receives. If you endure discipline, God is dealing with you as with sons. For who is the son whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, indeed, we have had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits, and we shall live? For they truly disciplined us for a few days according to the things seeming good to them, but He for our profit, in order for us to partake of His holiness. And all discipline for the present indeed does not seem to be joyous but grievous, but afterward it gives back peaceable fruit of righteousness to the ones having been exercised by it." The ones having been exercised by it. "The discipline for the present indeed does not seem to be joyous but grievous, but afterward it gives back peaceable fruit of righteousness to the ones having been exercised by it." By it is by exercised by the discipline. The ones that have been moved by it and exercised by it. Not the ones who dug their heels in and obstinately, you know, when you get to that point, men will probably relate to me, as there's that point when mom spanks where it's just like, I'm not going to cry and it's not going to hurt. That's not being exercised by mom's discipline. And when we do the same thing, it's kind of back to that thing when a man says, "I will have peace anyway. I'm not going to walk in the ways of God, and I will have peace, and I will prosper, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'll be just fine." That's that. It's not going to hurt when He disciplines me. I'm going to do whatever I want. It's not being exercised by it. It says, "Because of this, straighten the hands hanging alongside and the enfeebled knees, and make straight tracks for your feet, that the lame not be turned aside, but rather healed. Eagerly pursue peace and holiness with all, without which no one will see the Lord. Watching diligently, that not any lack from the grace of God, that no root of bitterness growing up may crowd in on you, and through this many be defiled. That not any fornicator or profane one as Esau, who for one meal gave up his birthright. For you know also that afterwards, desiring to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, although seeking it out with tears." And what I thought about every time I read that, it's like he was sorry for what he did, but he wasn't repenting. He was sorry for what he did because it didn't work out for his benefit, but he never humbled himself about the whole thing either. Verse 18. For you have not drawn near to the mountain being touched, and having been lit with fire and to gloom and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of trumpet and to the voice of words, which those hearing begged that not a word be added to them, for they could not bear the thing enjoined. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned or shot through with a dart. And so fearful was the thing appearing, Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. But you have drawn near Mount Zion, even the city of the living God, to a heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, and to a gathering, an assembly of the firstborn ones, having him been enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just ones who have been perfected, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling, speaking better things than that of Abel. Watch that you do not refuse the one speaking, for if these did not escape who refused him, who divinely warned them on earth, much rather we, those turning away from heaven, whose voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. In other words, yet once make clear the removal of things being shaken as having been made, so that the things not being shaken may remain. For this reason, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace by which we may serve God pleasingly with reverence and awe. Oh, and there's the verse. For this reason, receiving an unshakable kingdom. Remember that unshakable that I talked about at the beginning of it, of knowing who you are, knowing his provision, his covenant, all these things that are promised to us, knowing him so much that I am not shaken by any accusation or threat. There's that place. For this reason, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace. If I know who I am, if I am trained in fighting, if I know and I'm not threatened by any physical stature or anything, and I know what I'm doing, you can't threaten me in that place. And I have grace on the loudmouth that's shooting his mouth off at me trying to get me to fight. Make sense? All of a sudden, it's just like, yeah, you just don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're asking for. It's unshakable in that place. I can't shake Floyd Mayweather. Not going to do it. Because he stands in an unshakable, in his training and all of those things, in that example, he stands unshakable in that, and he's going to have grace on me. He's just going to smile at me and say, you really don't know what you're asking for. Right? That's what he's going to do. He's just going to smile at me and have grace with me. Let us have grace by which we may serve God pleasingly with reverence and awe. For also, our God is a consuming fire. Anybody want that? It means I can't grow faint. We can't grow faint. If we are, if you find yourself in that place and wanting to give up, it's being humble and saying, hey, I need a hand here. It's making an effort to be around people that will encourage you, that are in that same struggle and that are not giving up. I want to be an assembly. I want to be a flock that is absolutely determined to be at the feet of the shepherd. I want to be there. I want to know his touch. I want to know his voice. I want to smell his garments. I want to be so close to him. I don't want to go alone. Let's keep on in this pursuit of him. Amen. Let's keep pressing into the things of God. Let's be gracious with one another. Maybe the person that's grabbing in your heels isn't trying to slow you down. They're just needing a little help up. Quit kicking them off your heels and reach around and grab somebody and pull them up. Let's start noticing when people aren't here. Don't wait for me to go get them. If you recognize they're not here, that's for you to go get them. God wants to use you to remind them they need to be at church. And Susie, I apologize because I should have been at your house 2 weeks ago, like we talked last week, right? He had put you on my heart, and I didn't act on it. But Susie's here this morning, praise God. The time is short. Because Jesus is returning, and we've been hearing that and preaching that for years. Today is closer than yesterday. And tomorrow will be closer than today. Maybe it'll be this evening. I'm good with that too. I don't think it's quite here yet. I think we've got some time, but not much. But let's grab some hands. Let's pursue this walk with Him. Amen. I want to walk right up to the threshold of the kingdom. I want to recognize Him who has poured out His blood as an offering for me. And I want to cross over it by His grace and be welcomed into His kingdom. Amen. That's the hope. Want to go, Julie? Yeah. I don't want to leave anything behind. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Learning the heart of the Father is incredible. But it causes me to look at my heart and know I don't want to die in the wilderness. I don't want to die in the wilderness. I want to enter in. Amen? I mean, that's the hope. That's what we're supposed to be shooting for. Run the race. Finish the race. He is absolutely faithful, and that is knowing the heart of the Father, Bruce. That's it. I agree. But I think we're coming to a time, the age that we live in, we're going to have to set our face like a stone and know I will not be satisfied till I enter in. I think the church is going to be tested. There are a whole lot of things that are happening in the land. And it's not just here. It's all over the world. The things that it says in here about the end times and how the story ends, so to speak, they are going to come to pass. We don't know the specifics of those things, but the one thing we can work on, I may not know the specific details of it, but I know that if I set my heart to seek Him and to walk with Him and to know Him and to enter into His kingdom, I know I'll be there. Amen? That's the hope that we have. He's faithful. So, let's stand. I think I'm just going to, I just feel led to sing that song again.